Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. As you probably know, the Sunday after Easter is the day the Church celebrates the devotion to Divine Mercy, a devotion particularly dear to the late John Paul II, whose death in 2005 coincided with this feast day. As the Cardinal Archbishop of Vienna, Christoph Schönborn, points out, let's listen.
Because Pope John Paul II, we can call him the Pope of Mercy, it was at the heart of his life, of his message, and we think that what he has given to the world and what God has confirmed through the date of his death, because he died on the Feast of Divine Mercy, we think that God wants us to meditate, to deepen and to promote this message, which is at the heart of the Gospel. It's not only a matter of reflection, but it's a matter of mission. John Paul II said in his great message in Wagyevnik in Cracovia, be messengers of divine mercy. I think there's no peace without mercy. There is no reconciliation without receiving mercy and giving mercy. And we all need reconciliation. We need peace. And we need future. And without mercy, there's no future.
This devotion is particularly vibrant at the Wagyevniki Shrine in the suburbs of the Polish city of Krakow, Cardinal Schönborn mentioned fleetingly a moment ago. I went there myself in 2002, when John Paul II, who had already canonized the woman to inspire this devotion, Sister Faustina Kowalska, dedicated a new shrine to her, in a place most familiar to him, as he mentioned himself on that occasion in a very personal manner, saying, this place was on the route I took every day going to work, with wooden clogs on my feet. How could I ever have imagined that one day the man with the wooden clogs would consecrate the Basilica of the Divine Mercy at Wagyevniki? At any rate, my visit there was part of an effort to find out more about this devotion. So that's why I set up an interview with one woman religious who follows the charism of Sister Faustina. She's Divine Mercy Sister, Salvatrice. This is what she told me. This devotion stemmed from a particular person who had a divine revelation. Her name was Sister Faustina Kowalska. She's now Saint Faustina Kowalska. What happened to Sister Faustina?
Well, I would like to say that from her childhood, we call her Helen because it was her first name. She was a chosen soul. God has chosen her to remind the contemporary world about his mystery of mercy. We all know that the church, our church from the beginning, not only was born out of that mystery of God, but that mystery, the mystery of God's love, which is always merciful to man, is proclaimed in the church, and the church lives by this mystery. But God, it was his will and his choice that in the 20th century, through Jesus, because Sister Faustina, when she entered our congregation, she had the visions, the revelations of the merciful Lord. So God, through Jesus, wanted once again remind about this mystery to the world. And he has chosen young Polish nun living at our convent to do this. So now this place where we are, the Shrine of the Divine Mercy, we call it at the moment, it's the place where Sister Faustina lived long time, and she died also at this place. And from this place, the message of mercy is being spread all over the world.
The message of the Divine Mercy has a universal appeal, you were saying. Why do you think people are so attracted to it?
Why? Because now we are living in a special time. Many people are dwelling in the darkness. We can say that many of us have broken hearts. We can see the suffering. We have many questions without answers. We ask for God, if that God is a love, really. And Jesus comes through Faustina and he says, yes, that's true. Tell everyone that I am a love itself and mercy itself. And tell more that humankind will not find peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. So it's a special time. And additionally, I think that we were created for love and out of love, and we don't find peace until we love someone and we feel we are loved by someone. And God is telling us the truth about ourselves and about He, Himself. So that's the message of mercy. God is a love and mercy, full of merciful love, which is always compassionate, benevolent, which always rises man above his weakness. God always embraces us. Doesn't matter what about our condition at the moment. So that's the truth about God. And at the same time, we come to get to know the truth about ourselves, that we really need God.
But Sister Salvatrice wasn't the only person I spoke to on this occasion. Another person I met there was an American lady, a nurse, on pilgrimage. Her name, Marie Romagnano. Stay tuned.
I've been devoted to the Divine Mercy for 20 years, but what really pulled this organization together is, as a nurse, I do catastrophic injury traumas, and when September 11th was in the process of evolving, I had called numbers of nurses to get together. We were going with the Red Cross down to New York City to help. And as the day wore on, we realized that after the buildings, the towers had fallen down, that there would be very few survivors and that there may be thousands of people trapped and dying. And then the Red Cross called us back and said that we could not go because they were not sure of what was going to be evolving. And so we talked to the hospitals in Boston. We were going in to volunteer there because the Boston hospitals were evacuating all the patients because they thought there might be many thousands of injured. So what actually happened as the day wore on and everybody realized that there were not going to be any survivors. So this was a tremendous loss for the nurses, for the whole medical community that had prepared, and our hearts were so much trying to reach out to these people and help. And then I realized the only real thing that we can do is pray the chaplet of Divine Mercy for those that have died and those that are in the process of dying.
This is a practical application of the universal message of Divine Mercy. It seems very removed from how the devotion first started in Poland, with some divine revelations that Sister Faustina has recorded in her diaries. How does it fit in, do you think?
Well, it fits in very well with nurses. And that's why we are looking for nurses that would like to be in the service of the Divine Mercy. Because when you read St. Faustina's diary and really see what the message of mercy is, Jesus said to her, proclaim that mercy is my greatest attribute, and all my works are crowned by my hands with mercy. And from this, you realize that a nurse's hands are actually bringing the act of mercy to the patient. So if the nurse herself has Jesus in her heart and realizes that the merciful Jesus is the one that's doing the act of mercy, then you have nurses that are bringing Christ directly to the bedside. Furthermore, not enough is known about the chaplet of Divine Mercy. The chaplet was specifically given to our Lord for the dying, as well as for other reasons for general prayers, but this prayer is especially powerful. And so if nurses teach their patients, teach their families, teach other staff that when they're in the middle of a major trauma, like the emergency room, the ICU, the CCU, this is where you see many, many deaths. Instead of becoming a part of running around, of course you have to do your duties, but a person needs to be assigned or responsible to say the chaplet. So if nurses can be trained in the spirituality of the Divine Mercy devotion, this is very, very powerful.
You were listening there to Marie Romagnano, the founder of Healthcare Professionals for Divine Mercy, an apostolate of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception that specializes in training healthcare professionals and caregivers on the healing power of the Divine Mercy message in caring for patients. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.